I'm Ellen.
And I'm Hannah.
This is Pretty Zitty. We're still in quarantine. You already heard our first episode with Anne Shadid, and this is our second part of our two-parter rock and roll. I hate that, but it's fine. So the last episode we talked about, I hate sauerkraut, but we talked about sauerkraut.
We talked about, we asked Anne a lot of very important vocabulary questions about gut health, because we always hear these words about like, what is a probiotic? What's a prebiotic? So we got like definitions from her on that. So if you need to brush up on some of that, definitely check out our first episode. It'll help you with this episode too. You'll get a better sense of what we're talking about.
And I did want to say, so Anne, again, is a health coach and an integrative wellness clinic manager who's based in Chicago. But I did want to say, when we're recording this intro, that I wanted to tell her during the recording, and Anne, I hope you're listening now so you can hear this, is when we were talking about leaky gut, all I could think of was, the leaky gut is like the perfect foil to the leaky cauldron in the Harry Potter books. And while the leaky cauldron is in Diagon Alley, it's in London, I think leaky gut would be in Nocturne Alley. So it's like the evil brother of the leaky cauldron. And it's called the leaky gut. And it's nasty and only the right scamps stay there, and I just really liked it, and I wanted to make that joke, but I didn't know she was into Harry Potter, and some people, when they find out about Harry Potter, they're, like, really turned off.
Yeah. Some people, it's really hit or miss. It's about 50-50 about whether people are going to be super into what you're saying or completely stop listening the moment you open your mouth.
Yeah, because, like, Harry Potter, I wouldn't say it's, like, polarizing. Like, it's not like Game of Thrones. I feel like Game of Thrones is very polarizing. Like, you either really, really love
it. Well, I've never seen it, and I never will. I'll say that much.
Exactly. I'm not really into Game of Thrones. I did watch the first season, and the whole time I was asking myself, where are the wizards? Where are the dragons? Like, where is the magic?
Where is the sorting hat? Where's Hagrid?
That's actually so funny. I should use that in like a stand-up at one point. I guess I just
you
want,
can steal that.
I just want alternate realities that go back to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Do you? Who are you? What house? Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw. Right? Yeah. What are you? You're Ravenclaw.
I'm a Ravenclaw, but I feel like...
You a Gryffindor rising?
So I really think I'm on the cusp, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think if I ask the Sorting Hat, they would let me in wherever I wanted to go.
Okay. Everyone thinks that.
Okay.
We're getting real far with Harry Potter. And
we're getting really far away from
you
Anne.
You know what? Anne's so cool. Let's I don't even in. Know how she feels about Harry Potter, but we should ask her. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We didn't ask her that in this interview. We talked about stuff that's a little bit more relevant about
to gut health,
our guts.
This is our conversation with Anne, part two. We loved it. You will love it. If you don't love it, you can let me know, but I'm gonna be hurt. Let's go, Bobby. Let's go. So right now we're with Anne in her home, and it's beautiful. And her husband Jim is in an office, or okay, yeah. Is in the office, and we're basically sitting on two couches facing each other, and our mic is here, and just having a lovely conversation about our guts mm-hmm. in Chicago, Illinois, on a 45-degree day. Even though I
finally
think people, the weather lied a little bit, but it's
it fine. Did lie this morning. It said it was going to be in the 50s, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I got over it, but it took a while.
Yeah, but Anne, thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure, you guys. Thank you for having me.
How do you? So basically, what I'm. I just want to know how I can evaluate my personal gut health. Like, how do I start?
That's a good question. Like, how do you? Like, I mean, you probably you go see someone like yourself.
An easy way, you can just look at your poop. How often do you poop? Do you feel good after you poop? Is it evacuated completely? What consistency? What color? That's a good way.
Interesting. That's a great thing to do because
this is when I was a kid. This is so weird. I did keep like a journal about that.
Nice. You kept a poop diary?
I love that.
When I was maybe like 5 years old or something.
Why did you do that? Were you concerned about your gut health then?
I guess I was. Yeah. It lasted for like a week. I was like, I'm done.
So do you know in Europe, specifically in Germany, they have a toilet where, well, this is at least what my German good friend told me, that growing up, she always, and this is everywhere, there was like a shelf in the toilet. So when you go into the bathroom, it landed on the shelf. And then that's where you looked at it to make sure like everything was okay, your health was okay. And then when you flushed it, flushed off the shelf.
Wow, no wonder Germans have such good skin. Like, seriously, the Germans know what's up. Because truly, if I had to evaluate my poop, I wouldn't say it's that.
What letter grade would you give your poop?
Like a C, if not less. One of our friends, who she asked me to ask this question, and she told me not to name her, but if you're listening, this is for you. That's right, you. But she has issues with like constipation and she drinks kombucha and she also eats yogurt and cottage cheese that has probiotics in it. And I think she still struggles sometimes. Like, what would you say to her who has that constipation and she's like trying to get it all out, but it won't come out?
It's probably a bit of trial and error, but first and foremost, just by knowing like that very, very little bit of information, I would suggest like eliminating some of the inflammation. And right there, like dairy is very inflammatory on the gut. So it could be, you know, sort of inflaming, you know, the gut walls and therefore nothing is able to get through. So that could be, even though there are probiotics in there, that they're being like added back in. So it's not like in a natural environment where they're like thriving based on the fermentation process. So possibly kind of maybe doing trial and error with looking at the dairy aspect and kind of reducing the inflammation in that way. There are lots of other things. Looking at water, looking at, there would be a lot more other things I would evaluate, I should say.
Yeah. Is there like, so when we did our research, we heard about this thing called leaky gut. Mm-hmm. What is leaky gut? Does it actually leak?
So, well, essentially, to put this in like a simple way, so our gut wall, essentially like our small intestine, is like one cell layer thick. Like our skin is like 10. So it's just a very delicate wall, whereas this is in the inside of that wall is where food passes by. That's where bacteria sit. They kind of line up against that wall. That's what help then absorbs all the nutrients into our body as the food passes through. And then what keeps going out comes out as waste. Well, a lot of times, you know, that wall can be disrupted through our lifestyle, alcohol, air pollution, the water we drink, things like that can kind of loosen the junctions in our one cell layer thick wall, and therefore there are now spaces in between those cells. We do repair them, you know, every day. We're constantly repairing those cell walls, but sometimes our body doesn't do them as quickly as we need them to, you know, based on this standard American lifestyle, diet and lifestyle that we have. So therefore, things get through the body that should not. So on the other side of that cell wall is our immune system, sitting right there protecting us, not letting any foreign invaders come through. But a lot of times like food and other like, you know, undigested food, digested food, things that should not be going into our body get through those loose junctions and therefore activate the immune system. And that could be anywhere from sneezing, coughing, to an autoimmune disease, to diarrhea, constipation, whatever that sort of looks like for you. So yeah, essentially it is leaky.
Yeah,
to some degree.
But it's not like going to drip out of your body frame.
No.
Just so everyone knows, mostly for myself, because I did have this visual of an actual leaking person.
Oh, no.
So sorry.
You mentioned earlier that like a lot of problems that maybe you might have with your gut or whatever internally can like show up on the face. And when you work with people who are struggling with their skin, what sort of questions or what sort of like general things like would you ask people about to sort of probe about like, where is this problem coming from?
Okay, so yeah, first like looking at their diet, most of the time it's connected to an inflammatory lifestyle. Also, I mean, it could be more topical. Like it could be what they're putting on their skin. It could be more of like, there could be mold. I mean, there could be like things that are in the air that they don't necessarily know. Again, that could be affecting their gut and therefore there is still that connection. But most of the time when the inflammation is brought down, that's when you see it come down in their face. So just kind of digging in really every circle, like all the circles of their life and just kind of seeing where they can reduce, like I said, like the inflammation is huge.
Yeah. So like that comes from a diet, you're saying,
what,
typically?
And like, what is this inflammatory lifestyle? Because yes. I'm worried that I have one.
But I mean inflammation, it's more of those foods that are causing the silent inflammation. So not like you have a cut and there's now a red bump and a scab. That's one kind of inflammation. Silent inflammation is more or less that when I was talking about your immune system activating, you don't feel that. But it's coming through maybe that cell wall that's loosened up. That's inflammation. Your immune system is fighting to keep you alive, therefore invading wherever is being activated. It's like getting through that should not be in your body and inflaming that to protect you, to get you better. So when you're sick, you have a lot of like silent inflammation going on because you have all your white blood cells trying to fight. And what causes inflammation a lot of times is certain like toxic triggers in foods. Like just by science, we know that like dairy can be pretty inflammatory in the body. Not saying that it shouldn't be consumed, just that it definitely has that sort of reaction when digested. Same with some like flours that we have now, and especially with how they've been made, maybe genetically modified, refined sugars. So nightshades can also be very inflammatory foods for some people. Those are like your tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, there's white potatoes, things like that. Like hydrogenated oils, so oils that have been heated up past like their smoke point. So then the chemical structure changes. Or like refined oils to begin with, so like some like vegetable oils, corn oil, peanut oil, things like that. They're completely refined, have that high level of bad saturated fats.
So yeah, it's a lot of our favorite foods, unfortunately.
I do have an inflammatory lifestyle, that is for sure. What about alcohol? Like, how does that affect your gut?
Yeah, that's will deplete a lot of the good bacteria in your gut. So definitely recommend if you are drinking a lot to probably re-inoculate your gut with some good bacteria. That is one of the top offenders to gut health.
One of our questions was, can we eat bread?
Oh God, that was my question.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. You can eat, you know, whatever you want. I would say, like I said, like some of the grains, period, that are used are have been genetically modified. So it's really how they've been like milled and processed and seeded that have supposedly really impacted this inflammatory environment when we consume them. So that's why like gluten gets such a bad rap. It is pretty inflammatory based on like how it's processed now. There are certain breads that are better for you and speaking of gluten, like supposedly most people can handle gluten. You know, there's a small percentage of the population that have celiac and they are absolutely, you know, should not go near gluten. But that's really just a small percentage of the population. You kind of got to maybe do the trial and error, see how you feel. You eliminate it, put it back in, things like that. But I would say like there are certain breads that are easier to digest. Like sourdough is easier to digest. There's like an old fermentation process with sourdough. And especially sourdough that you get from your bakery. Maybe not the sourdough that's been super processed and refined.
I went through like 2 weeks where I was convinced I was going to start making sourdough from scratch.
You have to get a mother, don't you?
The starter, yeah, which is like the mother for kombucha. And I researched it and I just got so overwhelmed. So yeah, I buy it from a bakery now.
Good.
Yeah, I don't try to make it, which would be cool, but
It would be cool. The process looks incredibly difficult, but awesome. Like, once you have the starter, you always have it. But they're also, like, sprouted grain breads that can be really easy for people to digest, too. But it's something that I recommend just, like, trying, seeing how it works for you.
Like, Ezekiel bread, is that a sprouted grain bread?
Yeah, that's a sprouted grain. That's a sprouted wheat bread. Mm-hmm. Yeah, low glycemic, so that's low sugar. So it can help also with feeling better, since not spiking up your blood sugar like a lot of flours in general do. Even like whole wheat flours. Sprouted can actually like kind of maintain your glycemic level sometimes as well.
Yeah.
Which is good.
What the hell is that? What is the glycemic index?
It's the level of sugar in that food. So if something has a high glycemic index, it probably has a lot of sugar in that, so like a high number of grams, and then it also will spike your blood sugar more than likely. If there's a low glycemic level, that will has a low impact on your blood sugar and probably a low amount of like sugar per gram or grams of sugar.
That I makes cannot sense. Say that.
So would you say that like does the glycemic index, like the higher it gets, would that correlate with like higher inflammation that you could possibly get from it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense. I was just going to ask like what you eat for breakfast, because I'm just curious, because I never know what to make for breakfast.
So I make a breakfast salad. I like love this. And I've gotten like my whole team at work to do it. And not, I haven't like got them to. They've like saw it and like, oh, I'm going to try this. And they like love it. So I heat it up. So I usually do like kale. I'll usually do sauteed kale. And then I'll add usually like avocado, Kalamata olives, maybe another green. And maybe like an herb. I love tarragon and like parsley and cilantro. And then usually like a protein, like some salmon I love. Maybe an egg here and there or some type of other fish, or just like some nuts, some hemp seeds, some hazelnuts. So kind of switch it up. But I do love a good breakfast salad, and it is warm. So that is like nice and nourishing in the morning.
It's incredibly bold, I think, to have like a savory breakfast, like having vegetables at breakfast too, which is really cool.
That's for breakfast every day. I do not eat that.
Maybe the opposite of a salad.
Yeah, I eat granola and kefir because I
it's not bad.
I like kefir a lot.
Yeah,
I like the taste of it. Is that a yeast biotic?
No. So kefir is dairy based, but it can really help gut health. Like for some people, it really helps. Even though it is dairy, it can kind of be offset by how it's made. It doesn't have to be dairy based. It could be, you have coconut kefir. Mm-hmm. You could have like coconut water kefir. You get different types. The most common is dairy, I should say. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be, but I do
dairy. Yeah, dairy. It is organic, though, the one I buy.
But that's an example of another fermented food where it's actually more beneficial because it's fermenting and growing and thriving in that environment. Whereas, like, with yogurt, like, some yogurts are just added back in. Then that's not the actual environment where it's thriving and actually growing and multiplying.
I was going to ask, what is your favorite fermented food?
Mine is probably sauerkraut, but like, I understand that you don't like it, Ellen, but I think it is important that it is raw and unpasteurized, that does change the taste drastically. And also, like, when I make it on my own, it also tastes different and much, much better. So in my eyes, it kind of has like an olivey taste. And I don't know if I like olives, but I love olives. So
how long does it take to make?
It can take, you can really ferment it for however long you want. I always say a minimum of 4 weeks.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. But you could do it for 2. I mean,
if you do it less time, is that less probiotics are in it?
It'll be more zingy. It will be a little less, so there won't have as many, as much time for the cultures to grow. It usually has like, kind of like, think about like layers of development as it like ferments. And you just start from the bottom up in, like, for instance, the jar. But yeah, the longer it ferments, probably the longer it has to multiply in the bacteria.
Yeah. Can you remind me, how many years have you been doing this practice?
So I started health coaching in 2014. Mm-hmm. Yes. It probably started end of 2013. That was like midway through my program, and then like full time in 2014.
Yeah. So you've probably like seen like a lot of
research and a lot of new developments like in that time. What are you excited about now? Or like, what's something new that you're interested in or excited about? Or maybe it's not new, but something that keeps you, I don't know, like really passionate about it.
Yeah. Yes, this is like the most complex issue of health, I think. I am so interested to see where probiotics go in the future and how they change versus like how they're developed and what they do. So, and just the research around like what is beneficial. Like, yes, we can take a test and see which bacteria we are missing. But I mean, I still don't think that we're capturing the whole picture. So yes, we can supplement with that bacteria because we know we're missing it based on, for instance, the stool test. But like, is the capsule of the probiotic actually surviving our stomach acid? Things like that. So like how they're being produced. I really, really am interested in the probiotic company Seed. They have like, I feel like are running the top trials right now and research studies right now. They just have some really fun things going on. So I'll be following them a lot.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're amazing. And like their branding is beautiful. And yes.
Where are they located?
Malibu.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was wondering if you would be like open to giving us maybe like a case study of someone without going into specifics, of course. Yeah. If you can think of a specific
of someone who
someone
like,
that you've worked with.
Yeah, someone who like suffered with their skin basically, yeah. Mainly with their gut health and all of that.
I can give you me.
Oh
yeah, yeah. We would love it. Love yeah. That.
So I had like Tina versicolor is what it's the medical name. Like all over, that was another thing that was happening. There were more things in the bloat in high school that like drove me to reach out to my aunt. But it was all over my chest and arms and like in between my legs and like all over my back. And it was like just these white dots. It's essentially yeast on your skin. And it's in the air. So like it is, you know, it's out there. It's not like this is something that shouldn't be there. It just, if I believe, for instance, you have a yeast overgrowth going on, they can absolutely like hold on. It can just be attracted and show up in more ways than one. It's coming out from the inside and it's you're being in contact with it from the air and whatnot. So yeah, I had this all over my skin and it took years to finally like essentially go away. I still have like one spot on my back, which is kind of crazy. But it took probably like 8 or so years of really focusing on my gut health. So that did entail so many things, but a lot of like re-inoculating my gut with probiotics through fermented foods and through actual supplements, as well as like antimicrobials, which are, for instance, like oil of oregano, berberine, and then it usually is coupled with like zinc and really like good minerals. A lot of like B vitamins too, because your gut needs B vitamins to kind of have energy to heal. Yeah, so I mean, over 8 years, I did countless things. I like changed my diet. I experimented with my diet in many ways. But yeah, it took a very long amount of time. I did not want to put anything topical on after what was happening in high school with being recommended antibiotics. I really did not have a lot of trust in these creams that were being put on my skin. I also like realized that this is probably a Band-Aid and I really wanted to get to the root cause of the issue. So yeah, I took the long route and it did take like 8 years to like a decade to like kind of figure out or heal, because what I actually had intense antibiotics at like 6 months old. So I was really, I think that kind of set me back quite a bit. So whereas my gut is not in great health unless I do like supplement it with what it needs, unfortunately. So, but fortunately I was able to figure that out.
Yeah. That's a long journey. Like yeah. You said, like 8 to 10 years. I mean, like, I think it's easy to go like the Band-Aid route, as you said, and just like, I don't know.
Me.
Yeah, take a topical.
I'm in the Band-Aid
route. Right? Like, I mean, for us, it's a different skin condition.
No longer, though.
But yeah, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, you want to get to the root problem of it, but sometimes it's just so frustrating because I think it's an emotional thing, too. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know. This is not a question. It's just like a comment that and it's good to get to the root of the problem. That's like very inspiring.
Yes. And I do think like most of the time the roots are in the gut. So most of the time people are like, I just don't feel well. I don't know what's going on. I think a lot of times it can be connected deeply there.
That was a good line. I think it's worthwhile calling out for everybody who's listening that you have amazing skin. Like, you really do. I thought it the first time I met you, which was, like a year ago at this point now, like in person. I've heard Jim talk about you, your husband talk about you, because I met you through your husband. It's really good. So what do you do? Like, what is your skincare routine? Like, what products do you use and what products do you like?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, first of all. I didn't always have good skin. So I think probiotics typically are like my number one thing. I internally like milk thistle, which helps with digesting excess hormones that may have a dominance in your body, and then like healthy liver cell production. So that's like a good detoxifier. So I think that helps as well. And then I love the brand Living Libations. They're based in Canada, and it's husband and wife duo, and they just make amazing products. And they're all just like oils. I'm an oil cleanser. I like, that's like my favorite route. And then I actually clean with the oil and moisturize with the same oil.
What oils do you use for that?
So Living Libations. So they have a couple lines, and like the best skin, it's best skin ever is the name. And then they'll have like different types. So like a sea buckthorn, a rose, sandalwood, those three are my favorite. Another great thing for your skin is like frankincense. So a product that has like and I'm really about like the clean beauty scene at this point. It's really fun. But yeah, I mean, essentially like all the oils that I use are just, that's all there are, just certain like wild oils that she goes and extracts from these flowers and herbs on her farm. And if you're in Chicago now, Esquel sells it. So that's good to know. I used to have to ship it from Canada, but I don't anymore.
Wow, that couple's life is like my dream to like, wow, have a skincare company and live on a farm.
Mm-hmm. In Canada.
Not the Canada part.
Nova Scotia, baby. One of the most beautiful places in the world, apparently.
I believe it.
Yeah. What about for makeup? Like, do you use – like, I can honestly not tell if you're wearing makeup right now. That's how good your skin looks. So, like, what makeup do you use if you do use it? Or, like, what makeups do you like?
Or brands, yeah.
Yeah, or brands. Yeah.
So, brands, I kind of bounce around. I like to go to Credo, and if I'm just looking for a particular thing, just whatever they recommend. So, usually I go with Olema for the, like, under eyes, and then the blush I always switch up. Mm-hmm. And then I like put on an eyebrow pencil, which I don't remember the brand. PYT, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, mascara, Ilia. Ilia? I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but the best mascara ever. But these are all like Credo's, like a non-toxic beauty store for those who don't know. And I kind of just go with whatever they recommend a lot of times.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation. Very insightful. Like,
I'm gonna,
truly.
Yeah. I'm going to revive the poop log.
Yeah. I feel like the main takeaway that I have is poop diaries.
Totally.
Yeah. That's just, like, I really want to sketch one of those out. I'm definitely going to take a look. I'm definitely going to install a shelf in my toilet via the German.
I know. That's what we need. Order a German toilet.
Oh, yeah. A Wiedersehen to you. A bad Gott. Is that German?
Okay, this outro is going very well.
This is going super well. I think it should be too, actually. Yeah. Poop Diaries with Anne Chatted.
For the title.
Anne Chatted, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Anne. We've learned so much. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, ladies.
Yay! Cute! Oh my God, I love it.
Wow, that was really riveting stuff. Thanks again to Anne Chatted, my knight in shining armor. I love you, Anne. If you're listening, it's Ellen. Don't forget about me.
I would say she's a Gryffindor.
Really? I do not think that she's a Gryffindor.
What, you think Hufflepuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because she's so nice.
Yeah.
She is literally one of the nicest people Like, Anne was so nice to us. She asked if we wanted water. Her house was really beautiful.
She gave us bottled water. Her house was straight out of a magazine.
Oh my gosh, what if there was a Harry Potter themed furniture store called Harry Pottery Barn? That is funny. I'm going to tweet that after this.
That is so good.
Thank you for listening. We loved talking to Anne. She was super great. So thank you, Anne. Shouted again. Subscribe to this wherever you get your podcasts. Also follow us on Instagram at pretty-zitty. We make really good things for you, and also so we feel like we're fulfilling our prophecy to being good at this. Our original music is by Blade 2, very handsome and kind gentleman. Thank you for making this for us. And we will be back soon for something new. Stay tuned.
What was Hermione's cat's name?
Crookshanks.
Oh, yes. Such a good cat's name.
Beds by Crookshanks. So cat beds that Crookshanks designed. This is our first partnership at Harry Pottery Barn. Harry Pottery Barn by Crookshanks.
It'll be like a special line within Pottery Barn of a bunch of furniture that's just been clawed to shreds.
Yeah, it'll be like old rustic looking chairs with like shredded, like wherever you put your arms down on. What are those called?
Oh, yeah, with like tufts of feathers just flying everywhere.
What are those called? What do you put your arms down on? On
a chair? Armrests.
Armrests.
Yeah. Oh no, is it made out of Hedwig's feathers?
No. It's like stylish because it's been clawed by Crookshanks, but underneath they put Crookshanks. There's like a pattern underneath, so it's like, oh, it's purposeful.
Okay, cool.
That's part of the business model.
And this is part of the podcast.
Anyway, thank you, everybody. Thanks, just guys. So everyone knows, Harry Pottery Barn is 100% trademarked. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.